Blog Talk Radio.
Be to God, everybody. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, INC. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m., and at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own lady, First Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here to conduct our lesson and talk through the Bible by Bruce Wickinson. Amen. And you can also call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen. At this time, I'll say a prayer and welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision, and I pray your Holy Spirit manifest a breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary. We never like to start our service or our broadcast without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. To God be the glory, by Francesca.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come
of God. Allow His Spirit to come into your heart. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
We welcome. Your shoes off, for you're standing on holy ground. Bow down, don't make a sound, hear the voice of Yahweh.
When you enter the air, give us a praise. Let the anointing have its way. Call on Jesus' name. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. Wave your hands in the air, give us a praise. Let the anointing have its way. Call on Jesus' name. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. So
for he's a jealous God. Bow down to the great I am, for he's a holy God.
Wave your hands in the air, give us a praise. Let the anointing have its way. Call on Jesus' name. Sing
hallelujah, sing hallelujah. Wave your hands in the air, give us a praise. Let the anointing have its way. Call on Jesus' name. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. So awesome. Jesus, how are we God?
Praise be to God. It is now time for our devotional message, amen, which is entitled, Give Up the Illusion. And my scripture reading for this message is coming from John chapter 16, verse 33, and it says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Praise be to God. My second scripture reading is coming from Psalms 112, verse 4 and 7. And it says, even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for the gracious and compassionate and righteous man. He will have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. Again, the title is Give Up the Illusion that You Deserve a Problem-Free Life. Part of you is still hungering for the resolution of all difficulties. This is a false hope. As I told my disciples, in the world you will have trouble. Link your hope not to problem solving in this life, but to the promise of an eternity of problem-free life in heaven. Praise God. Instead of seeking perfection in this fallen world, pour your energy into seeking me, the perfect one. It is possible to enjoy me and glorify me in the midst of the adverse circumstances. In fact, my light shines most brightly through believers who trust me in the dark. That kind of trust is supernatural, a production of my indwelling spirit. When things seem all wrong, trust me anyway, I am much less interested in right circumstances than in right responses to whatever comes your way. I pray that this devotional message is a blessing to you as it is to me. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, this world has so many expectations of me, but today I will not seek and meet the world's expectation. I will do my best to meet your expectations. I will make you my ultimate priority, Lord, by serving you, by praising you, by loving you, and by obeying you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. At this time, I will play another selection.
Come on, everybody, open your mouth and worship the Lord. He's worthy of the glory. He deserves the praise today. Come on, everybody, all over the room, open your mouth and worship Him. Lift your hands and bless Him in this place. Your simple song.
to you. Can we lift our hands together one time? My hallelujah belongs to you. Everybody, come on and come to the table.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
Lord, let me use my gifts and let me help my friends and families discover theirs. Your gifts are priceless and eternal. May we, your children, use them to the glory of your kingdom today and forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God.
That he would wear. Is he tall or is he short? Does he like jazz or contact sports? And what would be his favorite TV show? Sometimes I wonder what he drive, or would he go green and ride a bike? These are all the questions I would want to know. What would he do to pass the day? Does he like to read? Does he like to play? Take a closer look and you will see. He looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? If Jesus walked the earth today, sometimes I wonder what he'd say. Would he lend a hand to help his fellow man? Would he prioritize his day to get down on his knees and pray? Simply tell the Father thank you. And even with the 9-to-5, would it keep him from the house of God? 'Cause he's trying hard to gain a little more. Would he be afraid or too uptight, or just ashamed to share his life? Take a closer look and you will see. He looks like you. Jesus looks like you, he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? Some would ever see, and you're the only words of life some will ever need. So let them see in you the one in whom is all they'll ever need.
He looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you. What will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. You want to know what he looks like. He looks like you.
Coming from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 9 through 14. And it says, what do people really get for all their hard work? I have seen the burden God has placed on us all. Yet God has made everything beautiful, for it is for its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. So I conclude there is nothing better than to be happy and enjoy ourselves as long as we can. And people should eat and drink and enjoy the fruits of their labor, for these are gifts from God. And I know that whatever God does is final. Nothing can be added to it or taken away from it, or taken from it. God's purpose is that people should fear him. The word of the Lord is already blessed. Amen. The text for this message is coming from Ecclesiastes 3 and 12, and it says, I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live. Praise God. The writer says, in the 10th century, Abi al-Rahman III was the ruler of Cordoba, Spain. After 50 years of successful reign, beloved by my subject, dreaded by my enemies, and respected by my allies, Al-Rahman took a deeper look at his life. Riches and honors, power and pleasures have waited on my call. He said of this, of his privileges, but when he counted how many days of genuine happiness he had during that time, they amounted to just 14. How sobering the writer of Ecclesiastes, was also a man of riches and honor. Ecclesiastes 2, 7 through 9, power and pleasure, and his own life, elevation, was equally sobering. Riches, he realized, just led to a desire for more. While pleasures accomplished little, and success could be due to chances as much as ability, but his assessment did not end as bleakly as Al-Rahman's. Believing God was his ultimate source of happiness, he saw that eating, working, and doing good could all be enjoyed when done with him. Oh man, Al-Rahman concluded his reflections, place not thy confidence in this present world. The writer of Ecclesiastes would agree, since we have been made for eternity, earthly pleasures and achievements won't satisfy by themselves, but with him in our lives, genuine happiness is possible in our eating, working, and living. What do you turn to most to find happiness? How can you eat, work, and do good with God today? Heavenly Father, today I will do all things with you by my side. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. And that concludes our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. Praise God.
Let's all hold hands, 'cause he is worthy.
withholding nothing, withholding nothing. I surrender all to you. Everything I give to you. Withholding nothing. Withholding nothing.
Come on, you say.
Taking off in flight.
Concludes our sweet hour of prayer. At this time, I will play a short selection while we're waiting on our speaker for this evening. Amen. Praise God.
Higher, spiritually stronger, a family
Amen. Praise be to God. And that concludes our prayer. And now at this time, our very own Nadine Wiggins is going to come with our Bible study this evening, talk through the Bible by Bruce Wickinson. And we're going to welcome her with a hand clap. Praise. Amen. God bless you, First Lady.
Hi, God bless you too. How are you?
Good, thank you. Praise God.
Oh, good.
God bless you, Sister Barbara.
Thank you. God bless you too, everybody.
Oh, God bless you, Sister Barbara. Yeah. Oh, Justin's headphones, did you? Oh, I get like a staticky mess. Is that me?
I don't know. Let me check. Let me see if it's me. Then I'll move.
Static?
It's not me.
Okay.
There we go.
Is that it?
A little better.
Yeah.
How's that? Much better.
Perfect. It's going.
All right. Sorry about that.
Nice.
Okay.
Okay. So we had the book of Zechariah to read. And thanks to Sister Barbara for her daily reminders.
Amen.
You're welcome.
The book. And so let's get into it. Zechariah. So for a dozen years or more, the task of rebuilding the temple had stood half complete.
Did we pray yet?
Zechariah. Oh, no, we didn't pray in. Go ahead, Sister Barbara, pray us in, please. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, you're welcome. We thank you, Father God, for waking us up this morning, starting us on our way, giving us strength for the struggle, allowing us to have our minds safe. Thank you for your love and your protection, your unconditional love, your favor, your grace, your mercy. Thank you for your kindness and your compassion. Father God, I ask that you bless everybody that's on this line, near and far. Meet them where their needs are, Lord God, and we will be forever grateful. Bless our families, bless our friends, and bless our enemies too. Thank you for understanding, Father God, for wisdom and guidance. All these blessings I ask in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus. And while you're handing out blessings, God, forgive us of our sins, those of omission and commission. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. So we're on next to the last minor prophet of Zechariah. And it reads, for a dozen years or more, the task of rebuilding the temple has stood half completed. Why is it half completed? However,
they were in captivity, so they couldn't finish building the temples, and they were
this is after captivity. This is after.
Yeah, when they came back, when they saw how everything was looking, they got discouraged. So Zechariah had to encourage them back to rebuilding the temple.
Right. I just wanted you to stay focused of, that this time was after captivity, right? They were already given permission to leave and go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. So you're right.
Yes, after captivity, they were allowed to go back to Jerusalem. And they came, you know, I guess with gusto to build a temple. But they got distracted. They started thinking about themselves. And so they left the building of the temple and started building their own homes. Those things have been destroyed too. You know, a lot of burning and destruction and all of that. So they were trying to get their thing together. And that was not pleasing to God. And the prophet had to let them know, you're leaving my house undone. I'll leave it there.
Right. Thank you. Amen.
Sure.
So Zechariah is commissioned by God to encourage the people in the unfinished responsibility. Rather than exhorting them to action with strong words of rebuke, Zechariah seeks to encourage them to action by reminding them future importance of the temple. The temple must be built, for one day Messiah's glory will inhabit it. But future blessings is contingent upon present obedience. The people are not merely building a structure, they are building the future. With that as a motivation, they can enter into the building project with wholehearted zeal, for their Messiah is coming. What do you think about that type of motivation to build it?
That's a lot. That's great. The Messiah is coming?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. Now we can, you know, get into it again.
Yes. Absolutely. Like, yes, this is what we got to do.
Right.
Even though they were building, they were having some hardships there. Because remember, there were still Samaritans that were living there. And the Samaritans was giving them a hard time. This is also one of the reasons why they stopped building the temple, is because of the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They started to to taunt them and you know, discourage them from the building of the temple. And like Sister Barbara said, then they just like, well, let me just be about my own business and get myself together, you know. So that was that's what was happening. So the people were not just merely building a building. They are building the future. With that as their motivation, they can enter into the building project with wholehearted zeal. Zechariah means God remembers, or God has remembered. This theme dominates the whole book. Israel will be pleased because Yahweh remembers the covenant he made with the Father. The Greek and Latin version of this name is Zechariah. So the author of Zechariah, God remembers, that's what the name means, was a popular name shared by no fewer than 29 Old Testament characters. It may have been given out of gratitude of God's gift of a boy, of a baby boy. Like his predecessors, Jeremiah and Ezekiel, Zechariah was of priestly lineage as the son of Berechiah, and the grandson of Iddo. And we saw that in 1 and 7. And Ezra also talks about Zechariah. He says, now the prophet Haggai and Zechariah, the son of Iddo, prophesied to the Jews who were in Judah and in Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel. So remember that, you know, Zechariah and Haggai, you know, they were once, they worked together, but we see that Zechariah was from the priestly lineage. So he was born in Babylonia. So Zechariah was born in Babylonia. He don't know a thing about Jerusalem, right? Because remember, we're talking about 70 years, and we're talking about a whole new generation of Jews being, of a whole new generation being born right there in Babylon.
In exile.
And in exile, exactly. He was born in Babylonia and was brought by his grandfather to Palestine when the Jewish exiles returned under Zerubbabel and Joshua, the high priest. If he, young man, that's described in chapter 2, verse 4, which chapter 2, verse 4, in Zechariah says, and he said to him, run, say to that young man, Jerusalem shall be inhabited like the villages without walls because of the multitude of people and animals in its midst. So it says, if he, if he was called to prophesy at an early age in 520 BC, according to the Jewish tradition, Zechariah was a member of the great synagogue that collected and preserved the canon of revealed scripture. And Hilda, could you find Matthew 25 and 35?
Okay.
So, and Sister Barbara, can you find Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 24, 20 and 21? And I'll tell you what to read, when to read it.
Okay.
So Matthew 25 and 35 indicate he was murdered between the temple and the altar in the same way that an earlier Zechariah was martyred. So, go ahead, Hilda, Matthew 25 and 35.
No, it's Matthew 23, 35.
Yeah, 23 and 35, yeah, thank you.
Okay. Where it says, as a result, you will be held responsible for the murder of all godly people of all time, from the murder of righteous Abel to the murder of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom you killed in the temple between the sanctuary and the altar. Amen.
Mm. Amen. So Matthew 23:35, which indicates he was murdered between the temple and the altar in the same way that an earlier Zechariah was martyred, and that's Sister Barbara.
Second Chronicles, what?
24, 20 and
21. Okay. 24 and 20 says, then the Spirit of God moved Zechariah, son of Zohaida, the priest, to speak up. God's word. Why have you deliberately walked away from God's commandments? You can't live this way. If you walk out on God, he'll walk out on you. 20 and 24?
21.
Oh, okay. But they worked out a plot against Zechariah. And with the complicity of the king, he actually gave the order. They murdered him, pelting him with rocks, right in the court of the temple of God. That's the thanks King Joash showed the loyal Jehoiada.
the priest who had made him a king. He murdered Jehoiada's son. Zechariah's last words were, "Look, God, make them pay for this." Amen. The word of the Lord is already blessed.
Amen. Amen. So we see here, you know, two Zechariahs murdered the same way. So the universal testimony of Jewish and Christian tradition affirms Zechariah as the author of the entire, as the author of the entire book. So the date and the setting. So Zechariah was a younger contemporary of Haggai, the prophet. Zerubbabel, the governor, and Joshua, the high priest. The historic setting for chapters 1 through 8, which takes 5020 to 1518 BC, is identical to that of Haggai. See date and settings in Haggai. So they are identical because they were both there together. So you get it, Zechariah, and so this is what was happening. These were the leaders at the time. You had Zechariah, you had Haggai, you had Zerubbabel, so Zechariah, a young contemporary of Haggai, the prophet, Zerubbabel, who's the governor. These are all the people in high places. And then you had Joshua, who was the high priest. So at the same time that Haggai was there prophesizing, and it says in chapters 1 through 8 in Zechariah is identical to that of Haggai. And it tells us to go back and see dates and setting of Haggai, which we did do that before, but the date and setting of Haggai. So work was resumed on the temple in 520 BC, and the project was completed. The project was completed in 516 BC. So they resumed it in 520, and it was finished in 516. How many years did it take them to do it?
4.
Yeah, that was long. Okay, so it took them 4.
Okay.
So chapters 9 through 14 are updated, but the stylistic differences and references to Greece indicate a date between 480 and 470 BC. This would mean that Darius the First, who reigned from 521 to 486 BC, had passed from the scene and had been succeeded by Xerxes, who reigned from 486 to 464 BC, the king who deposed Queen Vashti and made Esther queen of Persia. So what we're seeing here is that the war was actually finished, right? The war was finished the project was completed in 516 BC. And we see in chapters 9 through 14 are the dates, but stylistic differences and references to Greece indicate a date between 480 and 470. This would mean that Darius the First had passed from the scene and had been succeeded by Xerxes from 486 to 464, and he was the king This is the same king that got rid of Queen Vashti and made Esther queen of Persia. Now, do you remember the story of King Xerxes?
Mm-hmm.
Story of Esther? Mm-hmm. What happened?
The story of Esther is when King Xerxes was married to Vashti, and he mm-hmm. wanted to have a celebration. They were drinking and all of that. Mm-hmm. So she was a beautiful woman, and he had her come out, wanted to have her come out and parade before all of these different visitors of his guests.
Mm-hmm.
And she declined. Yeah. And so in her declination, she was cast out as the queen. They didn't kill her. He didn't kill her, have her killed.
Right.
But he sought another person in her stead as his queen. And so mm-hmm. not knowing that Esther was a Jew, they primed her mm-hmm. for about a year to become the new queen. And so that's what happened. But they had a little friction with Haman and Mordecai.
Mm-hmm.
Mordecai didn't like Haman, he didn't respect him, and vice versa. So a lot of mm-hmm. drama went on with that. But in the end, Haman, you know, swallowed his own medicine, got the guillotine that he was preparing for Mordecai. And mm-hmm. Esther was approaching, wanted to approach the king to let him know that the Jews were going to be persecuted if mm-hmm. Haman had his way. And so that's when that famous saying, as she approached the king, because you couldn't come unless you were summoned to the king. But she went anyway, and she, at the behest of Mordecai, and she let it be known that if I perish, I perish. And so she was able mm-hmm. to enter his court and let him know what was going on with the Jews. Otherwise, they would have been exterminated.
Right. Yeah. Thank you. That was a wonderful summation of the story.
Amen. But I wanted to say, too, that, that it's a little known fact that Vashti was supposed to parade around with nothing on but her crown. And that's not, obvious in the reading. So she said, I'm not in front of all of these people. You choose me to parade naked? And so she was like, no, I don't think so. And she thank God didn't lose her life, but she was out of there.
Wow. Yeah. So this also, just in your head, you have an idea that this is going on while this is going on in Persia at the
mm-hmm.
same time that the exiles, the same time that, there were Jews that are in Jerusalem, right? So Zerubbabel and Haggai and Zechariah, they are building a temple in Jerusalem while this stuff is going on in Persia with Esther and the Jews being annihilated. So these are the Jews who decided they were not going to leave, right, Persia. They're mm-hmm. going to stay, and they had their beautiful homes, and probably a lot
mm-hmm.
of them were born there. They didn't know anything
mm-hmm.
about Jerusalem, and they didn't choose to go, right? But so these are two things that are happening simultaneously, with the Jews. Yeah, thank you. Okay, so the theme and purpose. The first 8 chapters frequently allude to the temple and encourage the people to complete their great work on the new sanctuary. As they built the temple, they were building their future, because that very structure will be used by the coming Messiah when he comes to bring salvation. Zechariah eloquently attests to Yahweh's covenant faithfulness towards Israel through the work of the Messiah. especially we see that in chapters 9 through 14. This book outlines God's program for his people during the times of the Gentiles until Messiah comes to deliver them and reign upon the earth. This hope of glory was a source of reassurance to the Jewish remnant at a time when circumstances were trying. They were living under trying circumstances. Zechariah was also written to promote spiritual revival since the people would call upon the Lord with humble hearts and commit their ways to him. So there's some keys in Zechariah. A key word is preparation for the Messiah, and we will get to, Hilda, can you get 8 and 3, mm-hmm. and Sister Barbara get 9 and 9.
Okay.
Those are the key verses for this chapter.
Okay, 8 and 3 says,
mm-hmm.
And now the Lord says, I am returning to Mount Zion, and I will live in Jerusalem. Then Jerusalem will be called the faithful city. The mountain of the Lord of heaven's army will be called the holy mountain. Amen.
Thank you. And 9 and 9?
The title is A Humble King Riding a Donkey. Shout and
mm-hmm.
cheer, daughter Zion. Raise the roof, daughter Jerusalem. Your king is coming, a good king who makes all things right. A humble king riding a donkey, a mere colt of a donkey. My goal is 10. Is that the end of 9?
Yes, that's the end of 9. Uh-huh.
Okay.
So what does that verse remind you of, this king riding on
Jesus.
A donkey?
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy, isn't this amazing? It's amazing how the New Testament confirms the Old Testament.
Amen.
And that is exactly what Jesus did. He was the king riding on a lowly,
mm-hmm.
lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Wow. Okay. And, Hilda, can you please read chapter 14? Because that's the key chapter of
okay.
this, of Zechariah.
These scam people, they don't call, pick no other time to call. Okay, chapter 14. The Lord
mm-hmm.
will rule the earth. Watch, for the day of the Lord is coming, when your possessions will be plundered right in front of you. I will gather all the nations to fight against Jerusalem. The city will be taken, the houses looted, and the women raped. Half the population will be taken into captivity, and the rest will be left among the ruins of the city. Then the Lord will go out to fight against those nations as he has fought in time past. On that day, his feet will stand on Mount Olives, east of Jerusalem, and the Mount of Olives will split apart, making a wide valley running from east to west. Half the mountain will move toward the north and half toward the south. You will flee through this valley, for it will reach across to Isaiah. Yes, you
Uzziah.
Will. Uzziah.
Uzziah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes, you will flee as you did from the earthquake in the days of King Uzziah of Judah. Then the Lord my God will come, and all his holy ones with him. On that day, the source of light will no longer shine. Yet there will be continuous days. Only the Lord knows how this could happen. There will be no normal day and night, for at evening time it will still be light. On that day, life-giving waters will flow out from Jerusalem, half toward the Dead Sea and half toward the Mediterranean, flowing continuously in both summer and winter. And the Lord will be king over all the earth. On that day, there will be one Lord. His name alone will be worshipped. All the land from Geba, north of Judah, to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem, will become one vast plain. But Jerusalem will be raised up in its original place and will be inhabited all the way from the Benjamin Gate over to the site of the Old Gate, then to the Corner Gate, and from the Tower of Hananiah to the King Wine Presses. And Jerusalem will be filled safe at last, never again to be cursed and destroyed. And the Lord will send a plague on all the nations that fought against Jerusalem. Their people will become like walking corpses, their flesh rotting away. Their eyes will rot in their sockets, and their tongues will rot in their mouth. On that day, they will be terrified, stricken by the Lord with great panic. They will fight their neighbors hand to hand. Judah, too, will be fighting at Jerusalem. The wealth of all the neighboring nations will be captured. Great quantities of gold and silver and fine clothing. This same plague will strike the horses, mules, camels, donkeys, and all the other animals in the enemy camps. In the end, the enemies of Jerusalem who survived the plague will go up to Jerusalem each year to worship the King, the Lord of Heaven's armies, and to celebrate the festival of shelter. Any nation in the world that refuses to come to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of Heaven's armies, will have no rain. If the people of Egypt refuse to attend the festival, the Lord will punish them with the same plague that he sends on the other nations who refuse to go. Egypt and the other nations will all be punished if they don't go to celebrate the festival of shelters. On that day, even the harmless bells of the horse will be inscribed with these words, holy to the Lord. And the cooking pots in the temple of the Lord will be as sacred as the basins used beside the altar. In fact, every cooking pot in Jerusalem and Judah will be holy to the Lord of Heaven's armies. All who come to worship will be free to use any of these pots to boil their sacrifices. And on that day, there will no longer be traitors in the temple of the Lord of Heaven's armies.
Amen. Okay. Zechariah builds up to a tremendous climax in chapter 14, where he discloses the last siege of Jerusalem, the initial victory of the enemies of Israel, the cleaving of the Mount of Olives, the Lord's defense of Jerusalem with his visible appearance on Olivet, judgment on the Confederate nations, and topographical changes in the land of Israel, the Feast of the Tabernacles in the Millennium, and the ultimate holiness of Jerusalem and her people.
Wow.
Any thoughts on that? Chapter 14.
This is my says the Lord.
Yep. Came to deny Israel's enemies. And this is where he's going to be ruling the earth.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
this
all
is,
of them have to come once a year to worship in the festival.
Yeah. I also, this just reminisced, this just reminded me also, I mean, of Christ's second coming, you know, because it's entitled The Lord Will Rule the Earth. So all of this just reminded me of a future prophecy of Christ's second coming.
Yes.
But, you know, it's usually present, past, present, and future. I mean, that's how the prophets prophesied. So this is what this whole chapter reminded me of when I read it before.
And talking about the plague, it reminded me of the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
That the flesh will be rotting and the eyes will be, you know, rotting and the animals will suffer and if they don't come and sacrifice in Jerusalem, that there'll be no rain in their own homeland. So this kind of reminded me of what present day, presently happening.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. So let's see Christ in Zechariah, which is very clear. Messianic passages abound in this. Christ is portrayed in his two advents, as both servant and king, man and God. The following are a few of Zechariah's explicit anticipations of Christ. The angel of the Lord, so let's see, Sister Barbara, get 3:1-2 and 3:8 and 3:9. I'll tell you when to read them. And Hilda, get 6:12-13.
Okay.
And I'll get 9:9-10. So here are the examples of Christ. So the angel, as the angel of the Lord, that's 3:1-2.
You ready?
Nadine?
You ready for that?
Maybe she's on mute.
Can you hear me? Hello?
No,
yeah, we
could
now.
I was a little mute. The angel of the Lord, who?
Your phone is going in and out, or your voice is going in and out.
Can you hear me, Sister Barbara? Could you read two?
Yes, I can hear you now. You want me to read 3:1-2?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The title is Fourth Vision, Joshua's New Clothes. Next, the messenger angel showed me the high priest Joshua. He was standing before God's angel, where the accuser showed up to accuse him. Then God said to the accuser, I, God, rebuke you, accuser. I rebuke you and choose Jerusalem. Surprise, everything is going up in flames, but I reach in Jerusalem. You ready for nine?
Tis branch in eight. Branch.
Three and eight.
It's chopped up, I don't understand what you're saying.
Read three and eight.
Three and eight. It says, careful, High Priest Joshua, both you and your friends sitting here with you, for your friends are in on this too. Here's what I'm doing next. I'm introducing my servant Branch. And note this. This stone that I'm placing before Joshua, a single stone with seven eyes, decree of God of the angel armies, I'll engrave with these words. I'll strip this land of its filthy sin all at once in a single day. Amen.
Amen. We see the righteous branch is the stone with the seven eyes. Hilda, can you read 6:10?
6:12-13. Tell him, this is what the Lord of Heaven's armies says. Here is the man called the branch. He will branch out from where he is and build the temple of the Lord. 13. Yes, he will build the temple of the Lord. Then he will receive royal honor and will rule as king from his throne. He will also serve as priest from his throne, and there will be perfect harmony between his two roles. Amen.
The king, I just read, that was 6:13. The humble king, which is where it says, gently, O daughter of Zion, child, Jerusalem, comes to you, and victorious on a donkey, male donkey, the chariot from Ephraim, from Jerusalem, bow down, announce peace to the nations, and will be over to the ends of the earth. Humble king. The cornerstone and bow. 10:4. Yeah, 11:13.
You want me to read 10 and 4?
Yes, please.
Okay. 4 says, from Judah will come the cornerstone, the tent peg, and bow for battle, and all the rulers. Amen.
The good shepherd who is rejected for 30 shekels of silver of a slave. Chapter 11, verse 4-13.
Who do you want to read that? Okay. I'll read 11:4-13. This is the good and evil.
Barbara.
Okay. Because
Barbara.
Yeah, she's still there.
Mm-hmm.
Sister Barbara?
Yes, I was on mute. Breaking the beautiful covenant. God commanded me, shepherd the sheep that are soon to be slaughtered. People who buy them will butcher them for quick and easy money. What's worse, they'll get away with it. The people who sell them will say, lucky me, God's on my side. I've got it made. They have shepherds who couldn't care less about them. God's decree, I'm washing my hands of the people of this land. From now on, they're all on their own. It's a dog-eat-dog, survival of the fittest, and the devil take the hindmost. Don't look for help from me. So I took over from the craft, money-grubbing owners, and shepherded the sheep marked for slaughter. I got myself two shepherd staff. I named one Lovely and the other Harmony. Then I went to work shepherding the sheep. Within a month, I got rid of the corrupt shepherds. I got tired of putting up with them, and they couldn't stand me. You said through 10 or 11?
No, it's 4 through 13.
Through 13, okay. Thank you. And then I got tired of the sheep and said, I've had it with you. No more shepherding from me. If you die, you die. If you're attacked, you're attacked. Whoever survives can eat what's left. Then I took the staff named Lovely and broke it across my knee, breaking the beautiful covenant I had made with all the people. In one stroke, both staff and covenant were broken. The money-hungry owners saw me do it and knew God was behind it. Then I addressed them. Pay me what you think I'm worth. They paid me an insulting sum, counting out 30 silver coins. God told me, throw it in the poor box. This stingy wage was all they thought of me and my work. So I took the 30 silver coins and threw them into the poor box in God's temple. 13, okay.
That's 13, thank you.
You're welcome.
So, see Christ, the pierced one.
Mm-hmm.
10. On the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Patience. Look to me, whom they pierced, shall mourn over him, wails over an only child, grieve bitterly over a firstborn. This one, and then the fountain in 13:1. Hilda, can you get 13:7?
13:7.
13:1 says, the fountain, day of David, inhabitants of Jerusalem, them from sin and from impurity. Section is the smitten standing.
You're going again. Okay, 13:7.
You have it?
Yeah. Awake, this is the scattering of the sheep. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, the man who is my partner, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Strike down the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered, and I will turn against the lambs. Excuse me, the lambs. Amen. Just 7.
Coming judge and righteous king, and that's the entire chapter 14, which we read.
Yeah.
So continue week with the contributions to the Bible,
okay.
Other comparisons that we'll look at next week.
Amen.
Amen.
Wonderful lesson. Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. I praise God. pray out. Lord, thank you, Lord, by your name, Lord God. God, for God, that Christ throughout the Bible, Lord God, how you have made it so clear to us, Lord God, what your has been from the very, very beginning, Lord God. Lord God, for is that we need to reconcile with you, Lord God, because you love us so much. Us all who are on the line today, Lord God. Barbara, Lord God, bless Hilda, Lord God, in all that they do and in all their endeavors, and keep them, Lord God. Faith, Lord God, keep, Lord God, that from you, Lord God. And we thank you for that peace, Lord God, that Lord God, that have deep down inside of us, as Hilda said, preach last week, we have the authority, Lord God, because our name is in the book, Lord God.
Yes.
Always have joy, Lord God. We can always have peace in spite of everything that's going around us, Lord God. God, for that. Remember that. You can keep that in our minds, Lord God. Just thank you, and I praise you in your son Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Praise be to God.
Amen.
Beautiful blessing. God bless you, First Lady.
Yes.
Amen.
God bless you guys, too. I just wanted to say that, you know, Mother is doing a lot better. She had a doctor's appointment today. Her doctor's appointment today.
Mm-hmm.
She got her motorized wheelchair, boy. She's moving in that chair.
Mother could drive.
Good for her.
Still pretty good, but you know the good thing about it is her home health aide who can drive it for her when she can't back up. So she'll call her, Tracy, help me back up.
Mm-hmm.
You back her up into it, but yeah. So
that's good.
Oh, thank God that
so wonderful.
The what? Since 2019, after, because she finally, you know, got to see a doctor, and hopefully they'll be able to pain, so that's her main, you know, pain in her leg.
Mm-hmm.
That was great, you know, her vital signs was great, and
good
that she can get, you know, her prescriptions filled, because she hasn't been taking any of her medications for the last 2 years.
Oh, wow.
For
how long?
She's doing a lot better now. Well, the last time she left out of her house was in 2019.
Mm-hmm. She hasn't been taking a prescription medicine?
Had any.
And they're too old now. So now she has.
Yeah, she hasn't had any. She hasn't had any to take, so. But yeah, that's what happens when you.
She's a strong woman, though. Strong.
Yeah.
To endure all that pain.
Well, thank God she's getting help now. So God
yes.
is
good. Absolutely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, God.
You could go with her, too. So that's wonderful.
Yeah. I found I was looking for a geriatric facility that deals only with older adults. And it's a really nice new one, Hilda.
Yeah? Where?
Right on University and 179th Street. It's beautiful.
Wow.
You have to be 65 and over. Basically,
well, I'm
have,
way over
you know,
that.
yeah.
yeah,
no.
Mm-hmm.
Really nice facility. She liked it. She liked it a lot, so.
Oh,
as long as she likes it, then everything will be just fine.
That's good.
She has transportation.
survive. That's why she came down.
No, I mean like that when she has appointments, she has transportation to come and pick her up and take her to her appointments.
She has a specialized.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, she had that when she was in Brooklyn, yeah.
Right, cool. So she just had to call them, and they came and they picked her up. But place where we go, so they came and they picked her up.
Yeah.
Hours. Like 2 o'clock or something, pick up. That they came, really, because we didn't get out of there till 5 o'clock.
Were they on time when they picked her up?
Came to pick her up. Pick up.
I didn't hear you. They were late.
Weren't ready. I don't know what's happening.
She wasn't ready. When the patient is not ready and they leave you, then you got to call back again for them to send somebody to come and pick you up. And then at that time, they make you wait for hours.
Thing was that we never really, we didn't hear the phone because she was being examined by the doctor.
Uh-huh.
Been about, and I didn't even think about, ain't nobody thought about excessive vibe, really. About clock, one of the workers came in and they said, you know, because they didn't, the thing about Exxonify didn't even come in to even ask for her.
They don't, honey. They don't care.
Oh, well, we end up missing
really
it. But
they got worse since the pandemic, you know.
But they have their own bands to pick up and you know, you know, take you appointments. So she still needs her excessive ride if she wants to go anywhere else.
Absolutely.
Other than the support.
Absolutely.
She called them. They put her down as a no-show. But anyway.
Yeah, that's what they do.
But this, it was, yeah, but. And then they have these brand new bands.
Yeah, they always tell you you can call the complaint department. What for? They ain't going to do nothing anyway.
So they came back for her?
No, the office there owned transportation. Took her home.
Wonderful.
Told her that she can use their to appointments by their own transportation. It's up to her, you know, whether she wants to use them or use Accessorize. I think she should use them for her appointment. Right, yeah. She should probably use them for her appointments. I mean, if she's going anywhere else, she could use Accessorize.
Right,
exactly.
To the doctor.
Yeah.
Damn. So that's it.
That's good.
Have a blessed night.
All right, ladies. Okay. Have a blessed one. Love you.
See you on Saturday, Nadine.
God willing.
See you on Sunday.
I know we're supposed to have a nor'easter.
Oh, yes, we have a meeting tomorrow.
Oh, that's right, Thursday, right, at 5 o'clock.
She hung up already. But
mm-hmm.
We have a 5 o'clock meeting tomorrow.
Thank you. I thought about it and I didn't. So, yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
And is that on the phone or Zoom or what?
No, Zoom. Zoom.
Okay.
Same Zoom.
For 1 hour. Okay, great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Have a good
love
one.
Love you. Have a blessed.
Love you too.
You too.
See you tomorrow, God willing.
Yes, God willing. So long.
Shalom.